Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm.
Your boy in the studio's lost his mind.
Jiffy Lube is the sponsor. Why?
Because he said that Five Guys is better than In-N-Out. And then you got people saying like Habit is better than In-N-Out. No, In-N-Out is the best burger you get in California. Don't argue it. And that's that. It's the best.
Okay.
I don't want your take either because I feel like you're going to disagree.
I love In-N-Out.
Okay. Joe, you got something to say?
You know what? There's a reason why you pay more for Five Guys, in my opinion. And the fries there are better. I mean, I'm Five Guys all the way. I will eat In-N-Out more than Five Guys, though, because it's way cheaper.
All right, Joe.
That's the appeal of In-N-Out to me, though.
Like, yeah, In-N-Out's the cheapest fast food you can get.
But it's also not, I don't know, man. I rock with Habit.
Oh.
I like Five Guys fine. Like, Five Guys is fine, but my problem with Five Guys is I got to take $58 to eat there. Like, I have to save up for a meal at Five Guys. Whereas, if I'm going to go to In-N-Out Burger, I can take like $10 and get change for my meal.
Is Five Guys worth $100 more it is than In-N-Out? I don't think
so. Can we all agree that Whataburger sucks?
Yeah.
I've never had it, actually.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, so there you go. Yeah.
The funniest thing with Whataburger is I went there one time and I got a cheeseburger and I did it was so mid.
Yeah.
It wasn't gross. If somebody said, "Hey, you have to eat at Whataburger," I'd be like, "Okay, it's fine."
Yeah, that's just Texas,
I guess. It's not gross, right? But it's very much a Texas thing.
It's like, "Hey, this is from Texas, so it's awesome, and it's just Texas."
That's just their thing. Everybody who ever defends Whataburger says the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Well, what did you have?" I had a cheeseburger. Like,
yeah.
What do you think? And they're like, "That's the problem. You don't get the cheeseburger." Like, "All right, then it's not a good burger spot."
You didn't get the breakfast plate? What's wrong with you, Kyle?
Yeah, no, you got to get the patty melt. Like, okay, cool. Then Whataburger is a great patty melt spot.
Yeah.
You win. But don't tell me that it's a great burger spot and then tell me not to get the burger. That's insane.
Yeah, get Whataburger out
That's
of here.
Insane. We're punting that.
Yeah.
Five Guys can stay. Habit can stay. In-N-Out can stay. Get Whataburger out of my face.
That's facts.
We're all on the same page there. Let's
go. Very good. Let's go. Where are my buttons? There we go. Coming up on Saturday here on ESPN 1320. Sac State football, baby! They're taking on Texas A&M Commerce, 3:30 p.m. Right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Shout out to the Hornets.
Shout out to the Hornets, the soon-to-be Pac-12 Sac State Hornets.
I hope so.
Me too.
I love that too.
That'd be so sick.
Aim high.
Yeah.
If we fall, maybe we get Mountain West, but aim for the Pac-12.
Yeah, definitely shoot for the Pac-12. I think everything they've done with the athletic department there, even since I've graduated over the last 10 or so years, unrecognizable.
Yeah.
Like, incredible the growth they've had with their athletic department, and I'm hoping to see that growth land with Pac-12 bid.
Maybe we get Kyle Mattson to kick a field goal in the opening Pac-12 game for Sac State.
Bro, get me there. 40 yards, I'm lining up. I need to stretch first. That's coming up 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. And then Sunday, 9 a.m. So we've got the Raider game, right?
Yes, Raider Nation Radio.
Home opener against Carolina, 1:05 kickoff. But before that, if you're out running errands in the morning, maybe you want to lock in for that Raider game. Maybe you want to lock in for the Niner game against the Rams. Before that, we've got Houston at Minnesota. Coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Catch the second best team in the AFC?
Talking Houston?
Yes. Ooh. I think so. That was my take early on last week. I kind of threw it out on D'Lo and KC for like overreactions. The guys called.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, no, they're loaded. They're really good. I think they're good.
All right, nice. Got you on the.
Great.
What was that?
That was.
Got you on the bandwagon. Something
okay.
Fell. Yeah, something fell. I don't know. That was a big bang.
Nobody seems panicked out there, so I'm gonna.
That's the thing, though. Real quick, working in an office like this, like if something was really going down, and like I feel like no one would get up, and we just wouldn't know. Or like they would slowly walk out like, oh, they're going to get lunch or something like that.
And we'd definitely get forgotten about.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. We're just kind of, oh, they're going to get lunch again without us. Ha, ha, ha. And it's like, oh, no, they're kind of just getting out of here because the building's on fire or something.
Mm-hmm. That's what would happen.
It's just thoughts.
That's definitely what would happen. Let's talk some football. We've talked a lot about the 49ers, but the NFC West, really interesting start to the year.
I don't know who's legit and who's not.
I'm with you. And my Rams to win the division pick, not looking great.
Oh, yeah,
don't feel good about it.
So yesterday, we were talking about the Rams with you guys on the show, and I was like, oh, yeah, Kyle Mattson needs to go to jail for fraud. Bernie Madoff Mattson for all the stock that you sold us on the Rams. I lost all my money. I listened to you. We were in on the Rams, and now
you know what? No,
now,
I don't.
Now the company folded. Now the company folded.
I don't feel bad about it because the company folded based on market factors out of my and their control. I did
you
not
told
know,
me to buy, and I did. I did. And now I got to go tell the wife we don't have a house.
If you missed it, my actual take was like, yeah, it's decent low value. If you're picking a non-Niners team to win the West.
I put everything. I put all the life savings, the kids' college fund on the Rams.
That the Rams are super banged up. I think they're out. I have no idea what to make of the Seahawks. They're 2-0, which you have to respect. Like, great start. Shout out to Michael McDonald, their new head coach. But they beat the Broncos by 6, and the Broncos might be one of the worst teams in the league at the end of the year. And then they went and beat the Patriots in overtime. Granted, it was in Foxborough. The Patriots might be frisky, might be a little tough. So I can't tell. I have no idea what to think about the Seahawks.
Does it mean anything if they beat the Dolphins this week without Tua? Does that...
Seattle?
Yeah. They were playing in Seattle against Miami this week. No Tua, but you still got guys like Tyreek and all that. Does that kind of make them a little bit more legit if they win this week?
And Skylar Thompson is the quarterback?
Yeah, he will be the quarterback.
I think it depends on how they look. If Skylar Thompson racks up 35 points and the Seahawks kick a game-winning field goal and win 38-35,
gotcha.
Then I wouldn't be as... I'd kind of still be like, yeah, I don't know. But if they just beat the heck out of Miami, then yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be in.
I mean, it is.
Miami's still talented.
Yeah, it is the Patriots and the Broncos. But at least we could say Seattle's being the teams they're supposed to so far.
Yeah, I have no idea where I'm at with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of have to see. The 49ers don't face them until week 6. That'll be a Thursday night game, I believe. Is that Thursday night? Week 6? Yeah, Thursday night. Niners at Seahawks. Excited for that one. Seahawks 2-0, 49ers 1-1. Also 1-1, the Arizona Cardinals.
That's the team we're talking about.
Cardinals look sick, dude.
Yeah, are you going to go to the playoffs this year, or was that just kind of the Rams were really banged up and just didn't have it that day?
So I think we're going to learn a lot about the Cardinals this week. The Cardinals host the Lions. And there was all this talk that because Arizona beat the heck out of the Rams last week.
Yeah, the game was over before it even started.
Yeah, was it 21-0 in the first quarter?
Yeah, Kyler was 8 of 9 for however many yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, it was nuts. And they just beat the brakes out the Rams. The Rams dealing with a bunch of injury stuff. And you saw the Cardinals defense kind of take over that game. It's like, okay, that was impressive, especially after they gave up 34 in Buffalo or whatever the week before. Like, all right, maybe the I lean toward being higher on the Cardinals than I do on Seattle.
Is it just because of how they beat the Rams?
Yeah.
Because Seattle's just kind of been consistent the last couple of years. So I feel like they kind of still get that respect.
I think the Cardinals' ceiling's higher.
I agree with that.
Like, Kyler has looked really good. Not great in week one, but he looked really good last week.
Uh-huh.
And if Marvin Harrison Jr. starts to figure it out, and you got Michael Wilson, who's a really nice player for them, a second-year player out of Stanford.
Is Kyler at his best, the top 10? Is Kyler at his best, the top 10 quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kyler forces us to, and I think this is something that Lamar Jackson runs into too, where quarterbacks that move a lot, because our idea of quarterback evaluation and assessment has everything to do with the pocket.
Mm.
So everything you do outside the pocket is like, that doesn't really matter. What can he do inside the pocket? But the fact of the matter is that Kyler creates so many big plays by moving around that can you beat him in the playoffs by forcing him to stand in the pocket and make throws? Like, yeah, maybe for sure. But right now on a game-to-game basis, I don't want smoke with Kyler.
Yeah.
He can make all the throws. He's super hard to get on the ground. In the open field, he is as good as any quarterback in the league. I think at his best, Kyler is top 10. But I think Kyler might have the lowest floor of that group, too.
Well, yeah, there was that one playoff game.
Yeah. Where there's a handful of plays per game, it feels like, where you kind of scratch your head and you go, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, what he was trying to do too much, or he just made a bad throw, or whatever it was, which is why I think there's not like a consensus on him. So right now, as of right now, based on how he's played, I don't want smoke with him though. He looks locked in.
Is it safe to say that the Cardinals' success hangs on the offense? Is the defense like consistent enough?
No, I think it's the other way.
Other way?
Yeah. I think they got to get stops. I think they're going to be able to score.
Okay.
They're so talented on that side of the ball.
I feel like with the Cardinals' offense, we've been kind of just waiting, and maybe we've been waiting more so on Kyler Murray to just kind of break through that ceiling and just kind of be the quarterback that, well, that he was supposed to be.
So he had a bad coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
and got hurt. Then last year he didn't come back until week like 10 or 11 with a new coaching staff. He's coming back off a torn ACL. It's just a whole, there were so many factors that I think went into last year and his performance last year. Whereas now he's fully removed from the torn ACL. It's his second year in the system. He's actually getting to play. He's actually getting real reps.
Yeah.
I'm really high on Kyler and the Cardinals from an offensive standpoint.
Yeah,
and I think we're going to learn a lot when they face Detroit, because I'm in on Detroit still. I think Detroit is one of the best teams in the NFC. And I if Arizona goes and beats them at home, I'll be in on the Cardinals.
So we don't feel any way about Detroit if they lose?
No.
I think it's fair.
No. I just, they're way too talented, and I think they're too well coached. And I don't think Jared Goff stinks.
He didn't play great last week.
Yo, that fourth down throw
against
Tampa Bay was so, not only was it short, just a bad throw,
uh-huh.
it was not into the end zone on the last play of the game.
Jared Goff, for the most part, is a lot better than what he was with the Rams and all that. Not that he was bad with the Rams, but there was always like, huh, all right, like, this
there
is
was
why
a
you
cap
gotta move
on what they could do, yeah.
And sometimes he like kind of reverts back to that. But like I said, more times than not, he's not that guy, so.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good player. Yeah. I just don't know, when you talk grand scheme with the Lions, that's the one thing that holds me back with them. Uh-huh. It's like, can you avoid the two or three bad Jared Goff plays that swing a game? So, and then the Rams, man, I know I'm on fraud watch. That's fine. They have six players already on IR who they expect to return.
It's too much to overcome.
Yeah, like at some point, like
Kyren Williams is great, but you're just not going to sell me and we're going to run the football and we'll get through with these wide receivers here.
Well, yeah, we're going to run the football behind an offensive line where it's like two regular starters, a third string guy, one guy playing out of position. That's just not sustainable.
Uh-huh.
And there's a difference between the 49ers injuries, right, where it's like Christian McCaffrey and Debo, two huge injuries, no doubt. Kyle Shanahan talked about it yesterday. Those guys do two things. Those two guys do things on the field that nobody else on the field can do.
Uh-huh.
So it changes the way that you can call plays. And that matters, no doubt. The Niners offense, without those two players, is going to be worse than the Niners offense was last year, full stop. But I think they can be fine. I think they can be good enough to win games.
Yeah.
With the Rams, when you're down two starting offensive linemen and your top two receivers, and they've got a bunch of other injuries they're dealing with. Like I said, I think they've got six guys currently designated to return on IR already. That's just it. At some point, you have too many backups playing where you can no longer overcome that. Herm Edwards said, backups are backups because they're on the team because they can play. But they can play in the very limited role that you give them,
yeah.
or the limited number of snaps that you give them. When you start taking DeMarcus Robinson, who came on strong last year as a second or third option for the Rams, but probably better as like a third or fourth option. When you start taking him and going, yeah, you're wide receiver one, eventually that becomes an issue.
This is not sustainable because he's not right. meant to be a wide receiver one.
Right.
He's just not capable of doing the things that you'll need.
Right. Maybe this week they are able to game plan. And they see some things with the Niners, and this is what we'll talk about next. But they'll see some issues with the Niners defense that they think they can exploit. And hey, for this week, the Rams can be awesome with these receivers. But at some point, you're going to hit a wall with those guys.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we've seen from the Rams early in this year. I think that's why they lost to the Lions, is they just didn't have juice without Puka Nacua. And I think that's why you saw them lose to the Cardinals, because they got down so quickly because they just didn't have anybody who could block anybody. And that said, if the 49ers can't figure out a way to get pressure on the quarterback this week, I think it's a huge problem. So we'll talk more about the Niners-Rams matchup coming up tomorrow. That's Jesse Tapia in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, Joe Brazil behind the glass. I was talking about the 49ers problems because they have three really big ones that go beyond injury stuff, that go beyond it's just the first couple of weeks. These are things that I think are huge red flags for me. And we'll start with the defense, because that's what we were just talking about, getting pressure on the Rams. The 49ers' third down defense last year was not great. They tied for 23rd in the NFL, at 41%. I'm gonna round here because it's gonna be a lot of numbers. So at 41%. Okay. This year they are 31st in the NFL, allowing opponents to convert on 59.1% of their third downs.
That doesn't sound great, Kyle.
That would be the worst mark in the league last year by like 12 points. It's horrible. 59% is just an unacceptably high number. And that's the first big problem with the 49ers for the first 2 weeks for me, where they had a chance to win that game against the Vikings. They had a chance to, they get the touchdown from Jordan Mason. They're kicking it away with half a quarter left. You get a stop. You're going to get the ball back. You're going to have a chance to go down and score a winning touchdown. They couldn't get off the field on third down against Sam Darnold with no TJ Hockenson, with no Jordan Addison, and no Justin Jefferson. And you still can't get off the field?
Yeah.
With a fully healthy defense?
I feel like the game, I don't want to overdo it too much, but that was concerning the way they went out against the Vikings. I think they'll be fine, but it's just a matter of, you'd figure with the guys you got, you'd be able to stop that.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just a matter of Sam Darnold stepping up, and Kevin O'Connell's a great coach, and they just schemed up the Niners great that day or something. But
Kevin O'Connell top five for you?
No.
I think he's top five for me.
McVay, this is not an order. McVay, Reed, Shanahan, Tomlin. There's a fifth I'm sure I can get in there.
Kevin O'Connell's top five for me.
He's good. He's on his way.
I think he's there.
You want to crown him, then crown him.
I'm going to. I think he's a really, really good coach. Yeah, dude. And that's a little bit the problem, is I don't know what the solution is. I don't know if it's something schematically that's an issue. I don't know if it's Devondre Campbell just stinks that bad in the second level that the 49ers can't do what they used to do coverage-wise.
Well, it's like you want to use the excuse, maybe it's just the first 2 weeks of the season, but you read off last year's numbers, and it's not like they were great either last year. It's just something they just struggle with.
Yeah, so that's something that I'm keeping an eye on, certainly this week and throughout the year, and seeing what they do differently. And I think so much of it just comes down to rushing the passer.
Yeah.
Leonard Floyd had zero pressures against the Vikings. That's a problem.
Yeah.
Javon Hargrave has been fine, but he's not a game-wrecking player. Nick Bosa had a couple of sacks last week, but can't do it by himself.
Yeah.
And that's why I think that number, 59.1%, like, that's going to come down for sure. Like, that's just unsustainably high.
You think it'll still stay bottom half of the league, though?
Yeah, comfortably. And if they can get up to 23rd, 22nd, okay, great. But if they're sitting there 31, 32, 30, if they're in the bottom three all year, they're not going to win very many games.
Yeah.
And I don't know the direct solution. I have a couple solutions for these other things that we're going to talk about. But defensively, it's not like, oh, they're missing Fred Warner. Like, no, man, they're healthy. Talano Hufanga's coming back.
Yep.
Their secondary, honestly, and this is a little bit the concerning part, Charvarius Ward and Diamante Lenore have been awesome. They've been really good.
I'd be curious to see if the Niners are giving up, like how much of the third and longs they're giving up for first downs and all that, or if it's like a bunch of third and shorts, like what exactly they're struggling with.
I saw somebody tweet, it might have been Josh Dubow from the AP, I'm gonna look this up for you, but they actually,
because if it's like you're struggling on third and short, then it's like you got to do better on the first two downs, and that's what's kind of killing you.
No, it's like third and seven plus, mm-hmm. they're giving, it's like 80 something percent,
and that's scary.
If it was a matter of like, oh man, Charvarius Ward's just getting cooked.
Uh-huh.
Like, he got beat a couple of times, and oh man, Diamante Lenore didn't take the leap. Okay, then you can see, but I don't think it's, I don't,
because I don't subscribe to the idea either of it's third and long, rush four, some just have everyone in the secondary sit back, and hopefully we'll stop them for a fourth and two or whatever. Like, you do have to get to the quarterback at some point too.
I've got it for you.
What do we got?
This is via Josh Dubow, who covers Bay Area sports for the Associated Press.
Shout out Josh Dubow.
Also the number one Derek Carr antagonizer. The 49ers have allowed opponents to convert 8 of 11 on 3rd and 7 plus yards. That's 72.7%. The rest of the NFL is at 22%.
8 of 11 might as well be 100% in my mind.
That's outrageous.
Yeah, that's almost...
That to me is now a schematic issue.
Yeah, that's almost like not impossible because like they're doing it, but just, all right, you guys, there's clearly something you need to figure out because the rest of the league is not like that. That just doesn't happen.
You can't. And that was two of the third downs that the Vikings converted on their last scoring drive. It was like a 3rd and 7 and a 3rd and 8, I think.
Yeah.
And it was just easy work.
Maybe it's just a matter of they're not getting to the quarterback enough on third down.
That's it. Because that's 100% what that says to me.
You can cover a guy for however long, but you're not going to stick with any receiver for 7 seconds, 6 seconds, or whatever it is. Someone's going to get open at some point.
So third down defense is the number one problem the 49ers have to clean up, without question. Mm-hmm. The problem is that third down issue also jumps over to offense. And this is where I think they miss Christian McCaffrey really bad. A, because they're not getting into third and short as often as they were. Mm-hmm. How many times did you see 2nd and long and it was Brock Purdy dumps it off to Christian McCaffrey who goes and gets 8 yards and now they're in 3rd and short?
All the time.
All the time. 3rd and short. Nothing there. Get it to McCaffrey. 1st down. Right. Last year, they were 4th in the NFL. They converted 48% of their third downs. This year, they're at 20th at 34.8% of their third downs. 35%. They've dropped 13%. And this is where I put the onus on Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy. Christian McCaffrey is not walking through that door anytime soon.
At least for the next 4 weeks.
At minimum, the next 4 weeks. Ian Rappaport said it'll probably be more like 6. And maybe longer than that. Who knows? They're dealing with an Achilles tendon. So who knows when you're going to have Christian McCaffrey back? You have to figure this out. It cannot be like, oh, don't know what to do. Like, you're Kyle Shanahan. You're the offensive genius. Figure that out. You still have George Kittle. You have 3rd and Juwan. That's the guy's nickname.
You're not devoid of weapons here.
Yeah, you still have Brandon Ayuk, who's making $30 million a year, FYI. You have Kyle Juszczyk, who's paid to be the number two tight end, ostensibly. Utilize him. Figure out ways to get Jordan Mason open. Or if you don't like Jordan Mason as pass catcher, find someone else. But there has to be some kind of solution here because converting 35% of your first downs is not going to get you in the end zone.
That is not going to be good enough.
Yeah. No, that's a mid-ass team.
It's like you said before the segment or whatever. It's like, yes, you can have the injuries, but you're just not going to win ball games playing football like this.
Not at all. I think they have to be better on first down. I think they have to get into more 3rd and short. I think they've been in 3rd and long way too often, and that's difficult. But at the same time, they have enough weapons with a quarterback who is about to be paid like he's at the top of the market. They need to go make plays. There are no other ways about it. And this is not a they stink kind of thing. This is not a everybody panic. This is a they're way better than this, or at least they should be.
Just ask them to play up to their abilities. Brock Purdy, be the elite quarterback that you are, Brandon Ayuk, be the number one receiver that you are.
That's it. And I think so of those two things, of the two third down issues, I think the offensive one gets figured out sooner rather than later. Defensive one is the one I'm really concerned about.
Yeah, the defensive one, they really need to look at themselves and figure out what's going on there.
Yeah.
Which is 8 of 11. Like I said, that might as well be 100% at that point.
They have to do something different, no doubt. The last one, as we get ready to break here, is their red zone offense. They, last year, were the number one red zone team in the NFL, and 67% of their red zone trips had turned into touchdowns. This year, they're 17th at 44.4%. So 44%, that's a 23-point drop. And I think you saw that really rear its head in week one against the Jets. But dude, you got to score touchdowns, man. And I know touchdowns are down across the league, and I understand all that. But that's something that, again, that's a Christian McCaffrey factor to me.
Debo, yeah, I wonder, too, how much losing Debo is going to hurt in that, too.
Yeah, there's going to be a Debo Samuel factor, no doubt. But that's, again, Kenny calls Kyle Shanahan a top-five coach. You call Kyle Shanahan a top-five coach. I think he's in that conversation for sure. This is why. You figure it out. In this area, you figure out how to score in the red zone, you figure out how to convert on third down. And if Kyle Shanahan is going to be that dude, which I think he is, then I believe they're going to figure that out.
I think so, too. I think if we're looking at all these three things, the third down offense, I think it'll get figured out first. The red zone offense, I think, is going to look clunky through the next couple weeks still.
Yeah, I would think so. Like,
just losing, that's where, because we're waiting for someone to step up. Maybe Shanahan needs to scheme up Kittle a little bit more in the red zone, or Ayuk just has to get out of whatever rut he is, or they got to get on the same page. But that's one where you're really going to miss Debo and CMC. And I'm not sure who's going to who's going to be that guy to step up for them right now.
Yeah, yeah, but they have the players, they have the coach.
Yeah,
that's it. Christian McCaffrey's out excuse works for the first couple of weeks. Okay, you're figuring it out, but now's the time, dude. You got to start getting those numbers up. those are the three big 49ers problems. I'm going to keep track of those throughout the year because I think the 49ers highs and lows are going to go based on those numbers. And I think that's what this whole season is going to come down to.
That's fair.
Mel Kiper Jr. said something wild. I would like to get to that. And the 49ers need a new running back. I'll explain. Jesse Toppy in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Here on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Is going to bring his back or what?
Arguments at the break, dog.
Kyle has this pack of ingredients, and we're trying to distinguish whether or not it's soup. It becomes soup, but it's basically bark if you were to hand it to you.
It's gone now. I had miso soup in my cup.
Yeah.
Your argument was is that it is not soup.
It's not soup in the package, in the form that you've
okay, so I just want to make sure that we're arguing from the, and I swear to God we'll talk about the 49ers and what the insane thing Mel Kiper Jr. said here in a second. This is so important to me, though. This is literally, like, this is what I care about in the world. You agree with me that what was in that cup before I consumed all of it was soup?
Yeah, it's become soup.
It was miso soup.
Yes.
Okay.
But if you
we're on the page there.
All right, say you bought it. You bought it, all right? You're like, here, I'm going to give this to Jesse. You're not like, hey, here's some soup. Like, I'm expecting a bowl of soup. That's not. That's like a square piece of bark.
Dehydrated miso packet.
There we go. We're good.
But if I'm...
No. Don't argue more. We're good.
The package says miso soup, though.
All right. Well, that's false advertising. We're going to sue.
we're going to miso sue. But if I advertise that as a dehydrated miso pod, that doesn't, then what am I turning it into with the water?
No, we're good. We solved it. It's a dehydrated miso, whatever you called it.
Pod.
Yeah, pod. Right. That becomes soup. We're good.
Okay.
I was just looking for the name.
Okay.
Yeah. I won.
Good job, man.
Me and Dr. David, we won.
You can have this W. I'm proud of you, man.
Joe, put that on the board. That's one. I'm one up right now.
Soup battles.
Here we go.
Unreal.
I won In-N-Out earlier, too, so I'm up 2-0. I'm up 2-0, actually. I won that battle, too. I'm up 2-0.
You just decided you won the In-N-Out?
Yeah.
Okay. I asked you, is mac and cheese pasta?
I guess. I don't know. Like, I'm not a pasta expert.
It's not to me.
Well, it's it is, because it's a noodle. You're just throwing cheese on it, no?
Well, but, like, the ingredients are pasta.
Yeah, so it's pasta.
No, it's not.
You just said.
Bro. I invite you over to dinner. I invite you and your lovely
fiance. Yeah, the Sopranos are not having mac and cheese at their thing, but that's still pasta.
I invite you and your lovely fiance over for dinner.
Yes.
And I say, we're going to make pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pull up and we're like, here's the pasta. And it's mac and cheese. You'd be like, oh, you made mac and cheese.
That's like saying...
At Target, the pasta and mac and cheese are not only in different places, they're in different aisles, bro.
That's fine. Society tells me a lot of things.
Mac and cheese, not pasta. Mac and cheese, mac and cheese.
What are the noodles?
No, it's made of pasta. I don't disagree with you.
So.
But colloquially, when you call it pasta, you're expecting like fettuccine alfredo, spaghetti.
Yeah.
Something, a rigatoni.
Well, yeah, that's like saying like, oh yeah, we're going to have.
Some bow tie.
That's like saying we're going to have pizza at the house and then your boy breaks out some Tony's frozen pizza. Like that's still pizza. We weren't expecting it, but it's still pizza.
No, because that's literally pizza. If somebody said, I'm going to make pizza and then serve pizza rolls, you'd be like, this is pizza rolls. And they'd be like, well, it's all the ingredients of pizza. Crust, sauce, cheese. See?
No.
Different thing.
Is there high-end mac and cheese? What if you throw bacon bits and like some little
bread crust on it? No, it's just mac and cheese. That's pasta, bro. No, it's not. That's the whole thing. Is like that's just different versions of mac and cheese. You use pasta to make it, but when you're saying pasta... You don't, like, mac and cheese is a separate thing.
I don't.
I say, I'm having pasta for dinner tonight.
Well, spaghetti is pasta, but you're not like, oh, I'm having spaghetti.
Yeah, sometimes you say spaghetti.
You always say spaghetti.
Yeah, but sometimes you, but if somebody said I'm making pasta tonight, and then they served you spaghetti, you wouldn't be like, oh, this is weird.
I don't know.
If somebody said they're making pasta, and they served you mac and cheese, you'd be like, it's kind of odd.
It's odd, but it's like, it's still like, yeah, I guess. You kind of undersold it, but...
Exactly.
But it's still.
You're expecting some bow tie with the cream sauce or a vodka sauce.
No, that's you know what? That's three dubs, by the way. Shoeless 99. Kyle, take the L. I'm absolutely up 3-0 today. 3-0.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Shoeless 99. I've never even heard of
it. You're looking down on lobster mac and cheese right now.
Lobster mac and cheese is great.
That's the finest of pastas.
No, it's not.
Yes.
It's the finest of mac and cheeses.
Soren, macaroni is a pasta noodle, therefore it is a pasta.
No, I don't agree that it is noodle. Pasta is in the ingredients. But you admitted that it would be weird.
Yeah, it's weird, but it's still
okay,
pasta.
Okay, thank you. It's weird because it's not normal. W for me. I am the decider.
James, get your ass back from Vegas right now.
Jesse, did Jesse win? Oh, wow, look, no, the buzzer played. Did Kyle win? Wow, look, the ding point. That's crazy.
Not fair. That's not
all
fair.
Right. Mel Kiper Jr. said something crazy. He did not say that Jesse won. Can I just play this off of here? I don't know how the buttons work.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm good to just play this?
Yeah, yeah. Joe has the pot where you can pot it up.
Okay, great. Joe, make sure this computer is potted up. Here's what Mel Kiper Jr. said about the offensive struggles in the NFL. We talked about this yesterday, or a couple days ago, where there's only been 69 touchdown passes through the first 2 weeks. It was like 110 4 years ago. Here's Mel Kiper's solution.
Mel, pick it up from there. Now that we've sort of set the table for exactly what your problem is with it, how would you try and solve it?
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations. Boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica. You know, you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the quarterbacks, right? The Mel Blunt rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. And they're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two? They're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, they come up. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
Say it, don't spray it, man. I don't see how many sprinklers out here.
That's a wild take.
Yeah, he's so wrong, too. In what world was Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw airing it out? Joe Namath is the most overrated player in the history of professional sports.
Sam Darnold threw a 97-yard touchdown.
Yes, like, what are you talking about, man? Like, they were not airing it out. The Steelers still run the same offense they were running in the 70s.
Somebody brought this up earlier. I believe it was Kyle Krabs from I don't even know where he works now. He's an NFL analyst. Why did safeties play low in the 80s?
Because they were running the ball,
because they were running the ball. And that's it. That's what the two high... So what happened was Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill wrecked the league by just going over the top of everybody, right? And then Tyreek Hill went to the Dolphins and teams had the same problem. And Patrick Mahomes is airing it out and they were doing the whole thing. So what teams did was, instead of having a strong safety in the box and a free safety high, they just started playing two high safeties all the time and basically putting a lid on your offense to take away the big play, to make it so offenses had to not dink and dunk their way down the field necessarily, but go look at the 49ers against the Vikings. 17-play drive. You go 13 plays, 12 plays, 13 plays, 15 plays. You're starting to see offenses having to string more plays together, and when you're doing more plays, you are more susceptible to mistakes. And that is what teams are banking on. That's what defenses are banking on. They're saying, hey, we'll let you dink and dunk. We'll let you. You want that, hey, you know what? Third and four, you want that 5-yard completion at your own 20? Okay, fine. You take that. You have that first down. But we're not going to let you beat us over the top. And that's what defenses have done. And it has forced offenses to be more meticulous and to matriculate their way down the field. And Mel Kiper Jr. apparently doesn't like it.
Yeah, Mel, relax, bro. We still let you do the draft and all that. Just relax. All right. We don't want to unplug your controller now and all that.
I understand.
That's very banned, the 3-point line stuff right there.
Yeah, I understood. I didn't love banning the shift in MLB, but I get why they put some restrictions on it. Like I hitting against modern pitching is just way too hard. I was kind of with it. But this is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, this is the most insane thing I've heard probably in the last few weeks. Maybe this year.
Like genuinely, and this is something James and I have talked about. There's like this pendulum, right, that always swings one way or the other in sports. And some days it is the offense that gets the advantage, and then over the next decade the defense is gonna start having the advantage. Well, right now, the defenses of the first couple of weeks have had the advantage, uh-huh. And it's up to offenses to figure out how to take advantage of two high safeties.
The way the NFL moves, though, wouldn't be the most shocking thing. All right, safety's got to play within the 10, within like 15 yards of the line of scrimmage, blah, blah, blah. Like I said, that won't happen, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd be a little bit surprised if they did that. Because there's just, you're creating, it's not, because, with the shift in baseball, right?
Uh-huh.
You could put all your infielders on the right side, save for the third baseman who stood in the 5.5 hole. But you could put your first baseman, second baseman, shortstop all on the right side, and then you could just pound 100-mile-an-hour fastballs into the hands of left-handed hitters and force them to pull it. Right? There's nothing else they can do with this pitch. They have to pull it. Whereas, and there's a little bit of a disadvantage by, okay, we've only got one guy on the left side, but it's so easy to manipulate hitters into pulling the baseball. And I love you so much, Joe. And there are so many things you can do to manipulate hitters into pulling the baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
In football, you're creating such a massive disadvantage by putting your two safeties way up high, 15, 20, 25 yards from the line of scrimmage, however deep they're going to get. You're creating it because now you're creating more space in behind your linebackers. That's where Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense and so many other offenses are starting to live, where, okay, hey, we're not going to take 3 and 4 yards at a time. We're going to take 12, 13, 14 yards at a time. So there are ways to take advantage of this. The defense is creating a disadvantage for themselves that is, okay, it's going to take away the big plays, but it's going to leave them susceptible to other plays. Offenses just have to be more refined. And I think making the game easier, a game that's already geared toward offense, making it even easier for offenses is insane.
Yeah.
Two high safeties are not a new concept. It's not a newfangled defense. It's the most basic defense you can call in Madden.
I don't know what the hell Mel Kiper was watching, though, back then. Joe Namath and Terry Bradshaw were not airing it out.
Yeah. Hitting guys in stride, like, okay.
Johnny Unitas, Francois, relax, Mel. All right, relax.
And, like, there's definitely something to that, but the reason those guys were airing it out is because offenses were not nearly as detailed and intricate as they are now. It was, hey, this guy runs fast. He's going to run past that guy, and I'm just going to throw it to him. Because it wasn't like there were all these refined route trees and all these multi-talented, multifaceted players on offense. It was just kind of a need with modern offense. Anybody trying to rewind the NFL to the days of Johnny Unitas should not be talking about the NFL anymore.
Yeah, no, it's enough. Bill that Polian, I'm sure you're the same.
Oh, Bill Polian's so in.
Yeah, you did nothing here, but we're just throwing you into this. Yeah.
Did anyone
like yell at Mel Kiper after this? Do we know what the reactions were after he said this?
You can see in the video that everybody in the studio is like, okay.
Yeah, Green is like, this sounds insane for me.
Honestly, with the way ESPN moves, it wouldn't surprise me if Mel Kiper Jr. said this to somebody as a joke. And then somebody went, you need to go on TV with that take so we can create content out of this take. It's like Ron Jaworski when he went on air and said that Colin Kaepernick is going to be the best quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
And then they just ran with that news cycle for like 3 days and went, ESPN's Ron Jaworski says this. This is a little bit how that feels to me. Let's welcome in Damian Barling. It's time for the handoff. Damian, I don't know how to do this. Now that you just turned the mic on and you're good. I don't have to pot anything up or anything?
Nope.
No.
Joe's got the board. Joe's got the board right here. We're good. Let Joe handle it.
I don't know how to do this when I don't have to do anything.
Just lay back, buddy. Joe's got it.
I know he does. No, I know.
Let the pros handle it. Come on, rookie.
My issue is not Joe.
No,
my issue is that I don't know what I need to be doing, and apparently it's nothing.
I think there are a lot of people around here that don't know what they need to be doing, but yet we're here.
What do I have a story to tell you?
Oh, Jesus Christ. But we're here.
Hey, man. Mel Kiper Jr. wants to ban two high safeties because he doesn't like watching quarterbacks not air the ball out. He'd rather watch Joe Namath.
Okay, man.
Or something.
I don't know why we do this. I don't know. Like, I kept seeing that on TV. Like, what is the purpose of continuously putting this on TV other than to make Mel Kiper look ridiculous?
That's exactly what it's for.
Like, oh, okay.
I don't know what the point in all of this was. It was quite silly. It hasn't even sparked a intelligent conversation. It's mostly just like,
the hell was Mel Kiper talking about?
Come on, man. What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are you reading? What,
I was counting our break.
Oh,
to make sure I had the right
out. Just look like something might have exploded at your home, and you were debating what to do right here.
Sorry. We got a long break coming up.
Someone save the cats. That's fine.
No, we're all good. We were talking about the NFC West a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a ton of Niners. We talked a ton of Raiders. Are you buying the Seahawks so far?
No. So we kind of did this thing yesterday where we were ranking like teams like stocks and like, you know, the price would be, you know, kind of manageable at this. It could pay off really big, or you could just wind up getting nothing out of it, maybe lose a few dollars. I feel like the Seahawks is a team you could still get in relatively low.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think the return is going to be very high. So I'm not buying it. I think they're a solid team. Like they're comfortable 8-9 win team. I absolutely see that for sure. But anything past that, a double digit win team, I'd be surprised by. I missed that one.
What about the Cardinals?
I'm a little more in on the Cardinals.
Same.
Because I like Geno Smith a lot for the record. Mm-hmm. I love what he's done in Seattle. But Kyler's got a lot of those superstar intangibles. Yeah. And then Marvin Harrison is the one. So I think there's enough pieces around there to make that a little bit more interesting. So I'm more inclined to buy Arizona than Seattle.
And we're all out on the Rams.
Yep, completely. Lost my house because of
so
you.
Tough.
Yeah, completely.
Yep.
I didn't know I got put on fraud watch yesterday.
Well, you listen to Kyle, you wouldn't listen to me. Like, I didn't get it.
They're all hurt right now. Like,
that's fine.
That's why I still feel okay about my take. I couldn't anticipate that.
That's good. They're all like, we're talking Cooper Kupp, we're talking Puka Nacua. Like,
half their starting offensive line.
Well, and that's my thing is why didn't anyone say losing the best football player of like ever is a big deal?
Well,
they told us for 5 years that Aaron Donald was the best football player to ever live. He's the greatest. He's a physical marvel. And then he's gone. That's okay. They're still really good. Like, well, wait a minute. Which one is it? Like, there's got to be some sort of impact to his absence, right?
Yeah.
Now, that combined with everything you just mentioned, it's certainly problematic.
Yeah.
But, that's they're done.
What do you guys got coming
in
up?
In my opinion. We're going to talk about young quarterbacks. There's obviously, I think tonight's game is a little more intriguing than I originally thought. I haven't gotten a chance to like watch the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we all watched, you know, New York a couple of nights ago. Patriots had that week one win. They had a close week two loss. I'm a little bit more curious about this game than I originally thought. But tonight ties in pretty nicely to the young quarterbacks playing and not playing conversation, because obviously New England has a young quarterback in Drake May and he's not playing.
Yep.
And during preseason it looked like that might be an indictment of Drake May. Looking at the Patriots right now, it might not be.
No doubt. All right, that's coming up next. D'Lo and KC. Jesse,
you were not kidding about this long break.
Yeah, dude, we got it and we're late. Jesse Tapia back for James Hamm tomorrow. I'm Kyle Madsen. Sponsor is Jiffy Lube. I don't have to push any buttons. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water and be nice to people. See ya.